and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You were listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 523, and this is your host Danny, aka Godfrey, and also we have Paris over here, and we're live in Burbank once again.
Yes, we're at the event right now. Looking at a big giant woolly mammoth as we talk.
It's pretty big.
Crushed the car earlier.
So, first of all, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes or give us a call, 76-273-7GTR, or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Later on, during this episode, we have also an interview with one of the developers, Danielle.
Yes.
We had a great time interviewing her. Oh. That was really, really funny. You guys got to check it out. It's one of my favorite interviews in a while.
Because you just have to understand the facial expression she had. She was laughing, so it was making me laugh. And it was great.
But let's talk about the game, man. I'm going to be real. I never really played a Far Cry game. Like, I've seen videos here and there, and I know Pawson talks about it all the time because he loves the whole exploring, discovering new things and stuff like that. And I played it for the first time, and it was really, really cool, man. I had a blast, and especially the Stone Age, the concept. And one thing that I noticed, that I was playing at the same time with Paris, and we both had different experience while playing the game.
Well, that's the whole thing with the Far Cry franchise, is it being that open world sandbox, just go explore, do whatever you want. And I mean, this being in the Stone Age is a little different than previous Far Cry games, obviously, but the same thing applies. I mean, you're just what we played was, there was no story, we just dropped into the world and you just go explore, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So like Danny was saying, we had completely different experiences just in the limited playtime.
I mentioned this during the interview, it was pretty funny. I'm there, like, because we had a webcam recording, and we were also recording a footage of us playing the game. And I stopped for a second, I want to talk to Paris. I'm like, hey, Paris, man, this and this and that. And then randomly, like, an eagle just came and attacked me. And I was like, man, I'm going to post that reaction on either Instagram or Facebook. Like, my reaction when it happened, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was really, really funny. And to you was something else, right?
Oh, yeah. It was the crazy thing. And we talked about it in an interview, too, where, you know, I decide, all right, I'm going to cross this river or lake or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm out in the middle of it. And all of a sudden, a crocodile just comes out of nowhere and attacks me. I had to fight him off. Mm-hmm. And then I get to shore on the other side. And these two giant rhinos come out of nowhere. And they attack me and my beast companion and wind up killing both of us.
What about a mammoth? That also
ride the mammoths?
No,
they can ride them.
I didn't know that because I was there and I attacked by mistake and they came.
Oh, don't do that because they get mad.
They were like after me the whole time. And I'm like, oh, let me go to this village. No, they don't care. They went inside the village too.
They don't give a, you know what. But that's the thing is, you can actually ride the mammoths as well, and you can use them to attack. Because I was attacking
raiders
and stuff, took them out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was a cool thing about playing this game. It was, we were just discovering new things left and right. Weapons. Like, one of the things that happened to me was I was attacking an enemy, and I had my arrow, had it on fire, and I threw it. And then I noticed that I created this crazy fire in this area.
Yeah.
And it was growing. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get out of here. And I left. So it was getting worse and worse. Like, everything was burning, you know. Yeah. But I wasn't expecting. I thought it was going to be, like, something very short for, like, a couple of seconds or maybe a minute, and then it will turn off. No, it was not turning off at all, man. It was getting worse and worse. Right. I'm like, well, I took my bear, like, yo, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, too, the companion. Like, which one you were using the most?
I was using the bear.
The bear?
Yeah.
I like the bear, but the thing about the bear, self-wise, he's not, like, self, it was kind of weak on that. Because he was very, because he's so big, and every time he walks around, the enemies, right away, they could notice that I'm getting closer to them and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, what I was doing was, is I would send, because you can command your beast companion to go attack
beast companion,
and stuff. So I would send my bear to go attack like the closest person, and then I'd use my bow and arrow, and I would take out the other people at range.
I like doing the takedown a lot.
Yeah, the takedown.
I was doing that
cool
a lot.
Too.
Yeah. What about weapon wise? Anything
I was using a variety of like the spear.
I was using
bow and arrow, and I was using the club. And like you say, you take the club, set it on fire, do stuff like that.
Now, another thing, too, the owl. You used that a couple of times, I
did. I did, to scout the area, and you can tag all the enemies that are in that area. And then you can also have the owl dive bomb on one of the enemies and take them out, too.
Well,
that's pretty cool.
The best part about playing this, there was no story. Like, that's a good thing, because I want to play this game.
Experience it when you get the final game.
Yeah, I want to experience the story for the first time. You know, but this was more of like, hey, check out the world. Check out the things that you could do.
Yeah.
Discover camps, take over the camps,
right.
Help, you know, things like that. I love doing that. Swimming, I didn't, because every time you mention about the crocodile, I'm like, I was too scared to like swim around that area and stuff. But how many times that happened to you? Only once?
Just the one time. Because then I went back again, seeing if it would happen again. No.
No?
Completely, you know, just swam across and I was running.
Interesting. What else want to talk about the game? Anything else?
I mean, just for people that are curious, I mean, graphically, it's pretty much on par with Far Cry 4.
Oh, we play on the PlayStation 4,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, we play on the PlayStation 4. I'm assuming it's using the same exact engine that Far Cry 4 was on. It's coming out late February on all, you know, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC.
It got you curious? I'm really curious about the game.
I'm curious now because obviously, and they even mentioned that in the briefing they gave us right before we got hands-on time, this was a quick turnaround as far as announcing it and, all right, the game's out.
Yeah.
You know, so this is something new for Ubisoft because I usually say Ubisoft. But no, I mean, I like it. I definitely want to see more of it, hear more about it, and be curious to see what it's going to be like in February.
What is it to you? What is it that you like about this game the most?
Well, I'm really a fan of open world sandbox games, and this fits right in it. And it's not the typical, oh, you got a bunch of different guns and all that. With it being Stone Age, you're using primitive weapons, and all the, you know, your enemies, NPCs are dynamic. They have their own AI, and they're just going throughout the world doing their own thing. That's why even when we had the interview with Danielle, she's mentioning no two people are going to have the same experiences because the characters in the world are just doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how you interact, like she mentioned the one where the person said they were talking to an NPC and all of a sudden the NPC goes, ooh, look, mammoth. And then the mammoth attacks, you know, just stuff like that.
Stuff like that. That's pretty cool. Events. Have that popped up a couple times for me.
Yeah.
Like what? What type of events happened to you?
Well,
like, for me, it was like more like
right
somebody.
At the end, I got like this quest line, which obviously I didn't get a chance to follow up on, but I just ran it. I saved some NPCs that were being attacked.
He was captured. They were walking with him. He was all
similar.
Tied up.
Yeah, I had something similar.
And then I attacked him. I attacked both of the enemies. They died, and then I let him go. And he was like, oh, thank you for helping me out.
I got a quest line. But then I couldn't follow up on it because we had stopped playing.
But little things like that is cool.
Yeah.
Like, and it's easy to find the events. So you could tell if it's close
well,
by.
Well, remember you saw the one that was red with the skull, and you're like, oh, man, I don't
what
know about
is
this.
It? Yeah. But it was actually a quest.
Yeah, it was a quest.
I didn't know that.
Right.
I thought it was more of, oh, man, this is like a big boss or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, it was cool. Really, really cool. I'm excited. And very, very important, too. Once you play this game and you have headphones on, pay attention to the sound.
Yeah, you hear a lot of different
stuff. You will hear animals in the background. Maybe they're close by.
Right.
Enemies talking to each other. And I'm there, like, hiding behind the scenes and stuff. And then I attack them. Easy for me to attack, you know, so.
And that's another thing. Pay attention to your mini-map because that'll show you some enemies that are in the area, whether it be human or just random beasts running around. And also, you will have to do some crafting and things. Like, let's say my bear, when he got killed, I needed to get a certain amount of red flowers so that I could revive them. So you'll have to look out for those kind of things, too. So
my bear companion died. I left him there because the mammoth basically killed him.
Yeah.
And the good thing is, too, that you could also, let's say their health is kind of weak. You could feed them. It will help them heal.
Yeah.
And also I was petting them a lot. I don't know if that's...
I don't know.
I should have asked that question. Yeah. Like,
does it matter if you...
Does it matter?
Well, speaking on the beast, that was one thing that I never successfully was able to pull off was, you know, because you can throw bait down and actually tame one of the animals.
Yes.
And, you know, and make them a part of your beast companion.
And I tried that a couple times.
Yeah, it didn't work.
They just ignore me.
But then she was surprised when we said it, saying other people were pulling it off with these. So, again, this is the dynamic of the game. It's not necessarily set in stone that you're going to be able to pull these things off every time that you attempt them.
Now, the second time, once the game releases and you're finally going to be playing it, what is the things that you would like to do now because you learn by playing this game for the first time?
Well, I mean, when the game comes out in February and we start playing it, first thing I'm going to want to do...
Are you going to be starting like crafting more?
I'm assuming that like I had the bear unlocked and things like that. That's not going to be... My first thing is to get a bunch of beast companions as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because those are going to be essential for you when you have to attack villages.
We forgot to mention there was three. There was the jaguar, the bear, and was it a wolf?
Wolf. It was a wolf.
And a wolf.
Yeah.
You like the wolf?
I didn't use it.
No, I did. See, the jaguar and the wolf, they were really good with the self.
Yeah.
Bear was more strength.
And that's the other thing. When you go through the list, they all show the different attributes, speed, agility, you know, stuff like that, so you can figure out what you would need in a particular situation.
Do you try to crafting a lot? Because I didn't. I didn't get the chance to actually
craft.
That's
what I mean. Just a little bit. Just did a little bit with some of the weapons and stuff. But, I mean, nothing too significant because I was... More than anything, I was just trying to see as much of the world as possible, which in our playthrough, they had it limited because I kept running into turn back, because I would see things in the distance, like a little village. I'm like, oh, let me go check that out.
Yeah.
And they was like, nope, can't go that far. Yeah. So they wanted for this demo to keep us in a specific area.
All right, so we're going to play now the interview we recorded with Danielle. And once we come back, our final words.
Yeah.
I'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
This time of year, we want to look our best, especially now with the holidays. You know, a lot of events happening from now all the way to the end of the year. You're going to get together, traveling to meet family, or you can a nice little gift exchange. Why not try out Harry's? What makes Harry's so special? Harry's is the only shaving company that has both amazing quality plus low prices. German engineered 5-blade cartridges, close shave, no cuts or burn, quality guaranteed. Full refund if you're not happy. Factory direct prices, cut out the middleman, and they sell their blades at half the price. Over a million guys have already made the switch, and thousands of more switch every day. Harry doesn't like to discount because their prices are already really low, and I have a special offer for GTR listeners. Harry's will give you $5 off first order with this exclusive promo code GTR. Go right now to harrys.com. That's harrys.com and enter promo code GTR. Harry's also has a great holiday gift for you. A limited edition holiday set, which includes the copper razor, a bottle of foaming shave gel, and their new travel bag. Go right now to harrys.com and enter promo code GTR to get $5 off of your first order. Go right now to harrys.com. That's promo code GTR.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, hey, this is Paris, Gamertag Radio. I'm here at the Far Cry Primal preview event, and I have someone here to talk about the game. Can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Danielle Engels, and I'm a production manager at Ubisoft Toronto.
All right, so thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us, and let's talk about Far Cry Primal. Why are we going back to the Stone Age?
So we have had a few prototypes floating around for this game for some years. And when everybody kind of decided to land on the Stone Age, the team got really excited. So the Stone Age represents for us something that is kind of like the first frontier. So that's something that we know some things about, but not a lot of things about. So it gave us a great setting for the game, but we could also take a number of liberties creatively. Mm-hmm. So that's why that was something that... It's really appealing.
And how big is the world? How big is it? I mean, I was walking around a lot and discovering different locations and stuff, and I was also getting attacked by crocodiles and yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. So
yeah, you are totally going to get raffled by things in the world. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you played Far Cry 4, it's similar to Kirat. We have a ton of content for players to enjoy. It's a huge scope. It's a huge world, and there are a lot of things that want to eat you in it. So yeah.
Are there going to be any differences between like the daytime and nighttime? Are we going to see new enemies at night that now they're going to be not available during the day?
Well, I don't want to give too much away about that, but I think chances are that if you're wandering around at night, you might find some animals that are a little more aggressive and a little more perky because they're awake and they're hunting at night. So that's definitely something to watch out for.
Talk a little bit about the beast companions that are with you during the game.
So the beast companion, the Beastmaster feature, is something that we are super proud of and really excited to offer the player. The beast is ultimately supposed to be your protector and your friend and your companion through this crazy wild journey that you're on. And also, the beast is supposed to be your ultimate weapon. So this is something that you want to take with you throughout your journeys through Oros. We are super excited. There's over 14 different predators that you can tame in the game. So if you can actually like level up your skill and craft some bait and get close enough to something without being eaten first, you can actually tame that to be your animal companion.
Got a question on that. So while we were playing, I thought I had the bait crafted and everything. I ran across a few animals. It would even say, you can tame this animal. I would throw the bait on the ground. They would look at the bait and go, no, you're not taming me, and go the other way. So is this a purpose? Is this on purpose in the game to have a feature like that, where not necessarily if you throw the bait at an animal, it's automatically going to go into a taming mode? It's something that you have to kind of work at to actually pull off?
Well, first of all, I'm curious to know what kind of animals you're trying to tame, because
it was a rare black lion.
And it just looked at the bait and took off.
Yeah, it said no. So then I sent my bear after him, and we killed him and skinned him.
So that's one of the super fun things about Far Cry, right? And about the world, is that it's all open world and it's super systemic. All these animals have AI brains. They have a mind of their own, really. So in that particular moment, that lion may have decided that it wanted to eat something else, and it was just on its way, right? So it's certainly not a given that you're going to toss the meat and the animal is going to come over and eat it and be yours. And we really like that kind of variety. We really like that kind of element of surprise and randomness, because it keeps you on your toes.
One of the things I noticed too, that by mistake I had an arrow with fire and I threw it out, and it created this like a lot of fire all around the area too, the camp. So I was not expecting that at all. Very surprised about that. So.
I have to say, since this is on audio, this has become one of my favorite interviews, because you're dying laughing at us and I'm cracking up too. So I'm sorry. Continue. Yeah.
And I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you, because isn't it so much fun to have these undiscovered things when you're playing a game? And I think that's...
I was very surprised about that. I wasn't expecting that at all.
We want to continue to offer players that kind of unexpected and, might I say, delightful gameplay. That's part of our fire propagation system. So again, because it's all open world and systemic, you're going to set your bow on fire and you're going to launch it into some dry grass, and what's going to happen, it's going to start burning. Then a leopard is going to run by and maybe get too close, or you're going to shoot that with your arrow and it's going to catch on fire, and as it's running away, it's going to catch more things on fire, and before you know it, the whole outpost is on fire. Like, that is absolutely something that can happen. And we kind of enjoy that, because as you master that skill, you can start using fire to your advantage, and it's a super important aspect of Primal.
I wasn't expecting this. I was just standing talking to Paris very quick, and then an eagle just came out of nowhere and it attacked me. That was another thing. I was like, hey, what's going on? What was that about? Yeah.
Well, again, that was another crazy thing that happened in the game. So I'm deciding, all right, I'm going to swim across the lake.
I'm still laughing with you.
I know. But I'm swimming across the lake, and all of a sudden this crocodile comes out of nowhere and attacks me. So I had to fight him off. And then I get to the other side with my bear, and then these two giant rhinos come out and they kill both of us, and I had to start over. So is this... something that's on purpose to keep, to
yes.
keep it, to keep it
yes.
dynamic in the game. These aren't set events.
No.
It's just random
right.
within the
and
open world.
And I can tell you that's never going to happen to you again.
Right.
Because every time you go into the world, all these systemic AI brains are doing their thing. If a tree falls in the forest and you're not there to hear it, doesn't make a sound. If you're not playing the game, things are still happening. Like you set the controller down and you walk away, you know, things are going to be hunting in front of you and tribes are going to be walking by trying to gather resources, and all these things are still taking place. And we really love that, right? It's super exciting to play a game in a living, breathing world that you're totally immersed in, because it's dangerous and it's exciting. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the eagle in the face, because... because that was something, you know, in previous Far Cry games, you often got an eagle in the face when you were least expecting it. So part of the reason that we wanted to introduce the owl gadget is because we wanted to give the player, you know, a tactical advantage to have an eye in the sky, but also you can launch aerial attacks. I don't know if you guys try that, but as you're flying your owl, you can actually target something and then you can, like, attack them. So you can hit an NPC in the face as well. So that was kind of our little nod to the player to give them a bit of an opportunity to pay back all those other unfortunate eagle accidents.
So one other thing I knew, one other thing I noticed with the NPC characters, like let's say I took over an area and now it's, I know you freed the area and you now have these allies on your side. Can you control them player-wise, like set them against certain enemies, or they're just completely dynamic and on their own track?
So we're not going to super talk about the
okay.
the villages and the people in them just yet. We want to leave that for a little bit later. Is that okay?
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Okay.
Thanks, Paris.
let's talk about the character. Can you tell us a little bit about the main character of the game?
Absolutely. So Tekkar is the main protagonist of the game. Mm-hmm. He is the last surviving member of his hunting party. So he was out hunting and he was savagely attacked. And so now he is wandering the land of Oros, trying to survive first and foremost. And also it's his mission to unite his people, which are the Wenja, and they've been scattered all over the land. Mm-hmm. So basically that's your mission, is to go through and survive and tame beasts and overcome all of the obstacles.
Last question.
When is Far Cry Primal going to be on the store shelves?
So you can pick that up on February 23rd for Xbox One and PS4. And then if you're a PC gamer, we've got that for you a little bit later in March.
All right. Well, Danielle, thank you for your time.
Thanks,
really appreciate
guys.
It.
That was super, yeah. super fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Cool.
Thanks
all
so
right,
much.
Awesome. This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? Patrick here. I'll take a quick sec to tell you about this sweet new clothing company I recently discovered called TipsyElves.com. Now, Tipsy Elves specializes in selling some really cool Christmas sweaters for the holidays, but I gotta say this, if you're a hardcore gamer like me and you don't own a dedicated onesie for your late-night gaming marathons, you, sir or madam, are missing out. You gotta check out Tipsy Elves' line of jumpsuits. They have them for men, they have them for women, they come in a myriad of colors and styles, but the point is this, I managed to grab one of these bad boys just when Fallout 4 was coming out, so for the past 3 weeks, I have been cruising the wasteland in style, taking out Deathclaws, taking out Super Mutants, and basically saving the free world, all while being super comfortable, incredibly warm, and looking pretty snazzy too, if I must say so myself. So if you're in the market for a gift for that special someone, or you just kind of want something cool for yourself, go check out TipsyElves.com. Anything you pick up in the store, when you go to the checkout center, enter the code GTR, and you get 20% off your entire order, and that applies to everything in the store right now. So go ahead, check it out. You might just find exactly what you're looking for the holiday season.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're going to continue with our holiday gift guide. This is part two of our little series here, Gamer Tag Radio. And this week, I have Paris. Paris, what's up? Joining.
Chilling, man.
Chilling. Ready for the holidays? How's your holidays, man? Your holiday gifts already wrapped up?
It's going to be a good year in the Lily House.
Yeah, good year. That's good. All right, so the first one right now is Apple iPad Air, 128 gigs. I think that's highly recommended for those that would like to not only watch videos, but also play little games and also can share that with your kids. I think that's a
a product you recommend,
right? Because, you know, like in the Lily house, we all have iPads, you know, myself, my wife and my kids. We use it again for media consumption. We use it for a little bit of productivity. Mm-hmm. It's a great gift. I mean, anyone that's getting an iPad under the Christmas tree this year would be very excited, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Yeah. So next up is the Astro A50 wireless headphones. A lot of people use these on their gaming consoles, on the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4, and on the PC. I use them personally. They are great gaming headsets.
Yes.
You can get Dolby surround sound from them. I mean, it's wireless, so you're not stuck with a cord, you know, attached to
everything. And it's easier to charge, too.
Yeah.
Very easy to charge. Easy
via USB. Mm-hmm. Again, you get these under the Christmas tree, you're going to be excited. Now they could be a little pricey. They retail for about $299. Your mileage may vary if you think it's worth it or not. But, hey, if you get it as a gift, mm-hmm. you're going to love them.
Yeah. And also, Halo 5 Guardians. To me, Paris, this is my recommendation for this week. I really like Halo 5, man. I'm enjoying the multiplayer. I'm playing it, and I'm having a blast. I've been playing like with a couple of community members and friends that we know within the community and stuff. And not much of the campaign, more just the arena or they added big team battle recently. And I've been playing that a lot too. And here's the thing. I mentioned this to you earlier. Like, I don't feel pressure like other games. I'm having a blast.
I wish that conversation was recorded.
Yeah. No, I don't feel pressure playing those games, you know? I've been playing this game. So I really like Halo 5 for the Xbox One. I think, personally, is one of my favorite games for this year and stuff. So highly recommend.
Yeah, go check out the multiplayer.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
But enough of me talking. I'm going to let JC stage here.
Once again, thank you very much for being here today. We're super excited and we can't wait to let you play the game. But before we drop you in the savage land of Oros, I'm going to do a quick intro and give you some pointers on what to expect. So this is a Far Cry game. What we always aim to do with Far Cry is take you to the edge of the known world, and then we just drop you there in what we call the lawless frontier. It's a place where there's no social rules. And so you're free to use your environment, all the tools at your disposal, in any way you want, as you face off against iconic antagonists. And with Far Cry Primal, we also wanted to have a lot of fun and take the brand out for a spin. And so we decided to not take you to a lawless frontier, but to the very first frontier. So this is the Stone Age by Far Cry. And it's an interesting time period because it's really a time when man was not at the top of the food chain, and there were still these huge mammals roaming the world, the megafauna, and it's a great opportunity for us to depict this world. So we created the world of Oros, where nature is really majestic, all the world is bigger than man. You'll start your journey in the east, in the giant forest, Cedar Forest of Oros, and then if you go up to the north, you'll find the receding Ding Glacier and the Snowy Mountain. And in the south, you have the fertile but treacherous marshlands. And this is filled with a very savage food chain, wildlife, the giant mammoth that you can see back there and that you will see in the game also. There's saber-toothed tiger, woolly rhinos, the giant cave bears. I mean, you'll have fun with these beasts as we progress. And in order to explore this world, this time around, you won't be playing as a fish out of the water. This time around, you will be playing as Takar. Takar is he's a hunter-gatherer, so this is his domain. He's very well adapted to it. And as such, he's part also of a large tribe of hunter-gatherers who are named the Wenja. At the beginning of the game, as a lone survivor of his hunting party, he arrives in Oros, reunites with his long-lost cousins, and discovers that they're at odds with other tribes. And this is really the start of his journey. He will be the first one to reunite all the Wenja and to tame the wilderness of Oros. And when we say tame, we literally mean tame it. This is also a period in time where man was hunting mammoth, and there were also wolf packs that were hunting mammoth. And there was a synergy between the two, and they started to tame them and use them for hunting. So we wanted to take this, and make it even bigger. So in this game, you will be able to tame all the wild predators in Oros. So this becomes really your new toys and your new weapons as you approach different situations. Of course, they all have different uses, and you will be able and free to play with it in a minute.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so that was the interview, and also we play the holiday gift guide for this episode. Any final words, Paris?
I just, thank Ubisoft for bringing us out here today.
It was a lot of fun,
A lot of fun.
For someone that never actually played a Far Cry game, I had a blast. It was a lot of fun. And I'm very curious once it comes out. And I think it's a perfect time. February is a perfect time for this game to come out.
Definitely. And that's the thing with the Far Cry franchise. It's been around a long time, but it's never, just in my personal opinion, never been truly highly regarded. And them taking it in this direction, I think, will pique people's interest. Like they did Far Cry, Blood Dragon a few years ago, things
great
like
review.
That.
It got great reviews,
too. So, I mean, I'll be curious to see what the final product looks like.
I know who's going to love this. Patrick is going to love this,
I think anyone that likes open-world games, this is something that they'll be interested in because, again, you have the freedom to just go in and do what you want.
Do you want. Exactly, yeah. All right, so Paris, it was fun. Hopefully next time I'll see you in another event.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see each other again here in the next
early 2016, we're going to be around and stuff, man. But we have big things coming up, man. I'm very excited, and I would like to say, too, man, now that you're here, thanks for, us working as a team, man. We did a lot this year, man. It was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, and I was saying this on another podcast I was on recently, this is probably the greatest year I've had podcasting and gotten, both you and I have been doing this like 10 years now.
But, no breaks.
Yeah.
That's the crazy thing.
2015 has definitely just been the highlight of my podcasting career. Just all the different people that we got to interact with, interview, events we got to attend, things like that.
Yeah,
It's been a great year.
And this is just the beginning. I can imagine 2016, especially a lot of games got pushed to next year.
I'm just saying, 2016 is going to be big. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
Danny's winging like, no.
No. Yeah, 2016 is going to be a big year, man. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or Play That It to listen to our past episodes and share with your friends. Subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, everywhere. Doesn't matter what type of phone. The moon?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter what type of phone you have, Android or iPhone or Windows. Where
you can have a ColecoVision. You can still get GTR.
Yeah, just put the code in the ColecoVision and find us. Yeah. Give us a call, 76-273-7GTR, 76-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail @gamertagradio.com. Patrick is going to the PlayStation Experience.
Yep.
So we're going to have coverage live from the event. Lots of interviews. So we're going to... It's going to be a pretty busy month for us, so stay tuned with that.
Can I do it, Miss Cleo, for the PlayStation Experience?
Yes.
Miss Cleo Tinks, we're going to get some new Destiny content, and I think they're going to show us God of War 4. I think that's the big thing they're going to show.
I think God of War will be perfect for E3, not PlayStation Experience.
You're always such a party pooper.
Anyways, until next.
This is airing after. So I was going to say the Game Awards.
Comes out after the Game Awards.
Well, I'm not going to say because I look like an idiot.
Do you want to record a Game Awards recap? I mean, feedback? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, let's see. Let's.
All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.